I was taking a personal development class the other day, designed for people who do the kind of work that I do. And we were given an assignment to come up with a goal and to articulate any kind of interferences or obstacles that we thought might get in the way. Very simple assignment. There were four people in my group, and I came up with a goal that's not as precise and clear as some people's goals, but is certainly precise and clear enough for me. What was my goal? It was that I lived in a beautiful place, that I had a partner with whom I was very compatible, but more than anything else, I had work that I loved, and I could not believe how lucky I am to be able to do that work. So that was my vision. What I imagined would get in the way is what always gets in the way with me, which is an idea. Do I have the resources to manifest wonderful, satisfying, fulfilling work and a wonderful partner who's a great fit with me, and on top of it, to live in a beautiful place? Well, some people may have that, but that's not my past experience. So it's those kinds of thoughts, that kind of negative thinking that served as an interference to me. When all of us were done writing down our goals and visions and suggested interferences, a man in my group began sharing his first. And what he said was, I would really like to be more creative. I'd like to have time to manifest creativity in a variety of different ways. Nice goal. I like that goal. Then he said, and what are my interferences? Well, my interferences are that I have a very demanding job. I manage lots of properties, and maybe 90. I've got 90 deals going on, and I got to bring in the dough. And, you know, it's really important to me to bring in the dough, do it right, manage those properties, bring in the dough, and take care of that. So I'm thinking to myself, huh, he wants creative expression, and he's got all this work to do, which probably is creative, but his focus really is on making money. And creative pursuits aren't necessarily money makers. They can be. But that's just what I was thinking to myself. And our job was not to make comments, just to listen and acknowledge what other people said. So I looked at him, acknowledged what it was that he wanted and what he thought his interferences would be. And then it was my turn. So I say my vision. I'm jumping up and down for joy over how fabulous and how much I love my work. I have a partner and I live in a beautiful place. And my interferences are the negative voices in my head. The man next to me said, you know, Elizabeth, are you whole and complete? And I thought, what? He said, are you whole and complete? And I thought about it. And honestly, I'd like to be more whole and complete than I am. So I turned to him and I said, no, I don't think I'm whole and complete. I have a ways to go before I'd say I'm whole and complete. So the answer is no. He said, well, you know, I don't think it's a good idea for you to look for a relationship until you're whole and complete. Because if you look for a relationship and you're not whole and complete, then you're going to find somebody who you're secretly hoping is going to fix you, fix your life, fix your aloneness, fix any anxiety and difficulty you have with life. So it's better to be whole and complete and then go look for a relationship. So I'm thinking to myself, huh? But I do get at the deepest level that he's trying to be helpful to me, and that he's heard and read that people who are half-baked, who aren't whole and complete, tend to have difficulty in their relationships. Now, personally, I've never met anybody who would describe themselves as whole and complete. And everybody I know who's ever had a relationship has really had to work and struggle and grow and learn, be wrong, compromise, do all those things that we all have to do in relationships. So I'm sitting here very aware that this guy's just trying to help me and is in fact saying, you know, if you want to do it right, you just have to become whole and complete first, and then you go out and find a partner. Well, I started wondering about all the times that I've said stuff like that to people, stuff that I've read, stuff that sounds really good, like, you ought to be whole and complete. That really does sound pretty good, doesn't it? Except that telling somebody you really need to be whole and complete tells them nothing about how to become whole and complete. And in my experience, the only thing that really helps me is just living and trying and getting more experience and winning sometimes, failing other times, trying, falling on my face, doing well. Just that whole life experience, that's the thing that helps me grow, not a platitude like you really ought to be whole and complete before you get into a relationship. So I bit my tongue and I said, thank you for trying to help me. I appreciate what it is that you said. But the thing is, I'm not whole and complete. And one of the ways I hope to get whole and complete is by having relationships. What I'd like to be able to do, and what I try to do and often fail to do, is keep my mouth shut when people talk about their deepest longings. Like that man, I often want to jump in and encourage and support. And sometimes I say those kinds of platitudes too. It's only when I was on the other side that I really heard, and I felt very burdened by that injunction. Don't do anything until you're whole and complete. So the question really is, how many of us are doing that all the time with the very best of intentions, trying to help other people who have no idea how to put those platitudes and injunctions into practice?